Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, June 4th, 1998. In the fireside room this evening is Mark Schwain leading a forum titled Community, Privacy, and the Internet. The session number is FO981. Let's listen in.
For this evening's forum, my name is Mark Schwain, and I'm one of the two teaching staff coordinators. Come from Valparaiso University in Valparaiso, Indiana, and will be joined soon by the other teaching staff coordinator, who's my wife, will arrive next Tuesday. And the title of tonight's forum is Community, Privacy, and the Internet. I'll say a few words before we get to this evening's forum about what forums are, and since this is the first forum, explain why this one is kind of special. Forums at Holden Village are times when the entire village gathers, about 8:30, and this year it'll be 8:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays once the village gets up to sort of full population. I think for this week and next, we'll just have one forum, and after that, we'll move into the two-forum mode. And forums are places where the village gets to think about and talk about, converse about, important issues that face all of us here at the village and throughout the country. So these are sort of big topics. Give you a sample of the list, which I'll want at the end you to critique and add and subtract to, but these are provisional forum topics for this year. Things like knowledge and reproductive technologies, violence in schools and handgun controls, religious universities and academic freedom, free choice and sexual identity, social justice and affirmative action, equal pay for equal work, retirement, should we restore the mandatory retirement age at 65? Cross-cultural ethics, a whole bunch of things like this, which are huge subjects, but which engage villagers both here and out of here. What we hope to promote at Holden is something very different from debate, which simply means that you hear two people give two sides and people choose up sides and often leave with the same position they came with. But something different, too, just from a bull session, which is often rambling and unfocused. Conversation in ideal terms is the thinking of a community pooled together in such a way so that everyone leaves differently from when they came. I mean, a richer sense, at least, of the dimensions of the problem. Some new understandings, hopefully. And something that people leave thinking, boy, this was worth spending an hour hearing what other folks think, because I thought I knew what I thought when I came in. Now I'm not so sure, but I have a richer sense of what's at stake. The way we're going to try to focus these forums, instead of talking about grand abstract issues, is to present case studies or stories which have a sharp focus and invite initially some folks here, and we have a distinguished group of them who've joined us this evening, who will speak from different vantage points first to the story, and then it'll be up to the whole village to jump in and talk back and forth with each other or with any one of the panelists, and I'm just in the role of sort of moderator. And hopefully we'll move from the story out to the larger issue, which I'll remind you again is tonight, community, privacy, and information technology, or the internet. So let me introduce the distinguished panel after I tell you the story, which they're going to comment on. And here's the story. It's a story that is set at Beowulf Lutheran University, which is located just south of Lake Wobegon. Beowulf Lutheran University, people began noticing this year and the year before that more and more students were ordering their food in the cafeterias and the residence halls to go in these little styrofoam containers. And then they went up to their rooms and ate there in their separate rooms while they were communing, they said, on the internet through email chat groups and sometimes in the World Wide Web. When this fact became more and more noticeable, that is, the population at the dining halls seemed less and less, the Council of Deans, spearheaded by one of the deans that we have with us tonight, passed a resolution which was to basically advise the head of the food services, and we have him here this evening as well, that they should discontinue altogether the practice of giving students food to go on the grounds that sharing common meals is a crucial way, perhaps the crucial way, of building community at Beowulf University. And this was beginning to unravel with students rushing up to commune with the internet while they were eating. And the Dean's Council unanimously passed such a resolution. Well, the student government got wind of this. And the president of the student government, whom you also meet soon, who's here tonight, under her leadership, the student government quickly passed a resolution that asked the president to overturn the Dean's Council resolution on the grounds, among other things, that this was really a violation of student rights. Students ought to be able to eat where and when and howsoever they want. After all, carry-out meals served purposes other than facilitating communion with the internet. Some students were ill, and the students took meals up to their rooms. Others were cramming for exams. And really, the Dean's Council ought not be meddling in passing these resolutions to sustain community. And besides, students felt, to some degree, the internet, you'll hear more about this, really built community more than it unraveled. So there became this argument, and the president has to decide now what to do, to uphold the Dean's resolution or to uphold the Student Senate resolution. And we're going to find out from these five distinguished panelists who come to us from Beowulf University, they just came today, what they'll advise the president to do. So let me introduce them first. To my immediate right, we have Professor Chris Sharon, who's a professor of Christian ethics at Beowulf University and who really concentrates on the subject of community. Then we have Dean Betsy Branch. Dean Branch, the Dean of Students, is the one who introduced this resolution to the Dean's Council and persuaded the deans to pass it. Next, we have the president of the student body, Jake Jacobs, who's a senior at Beowulf U and who led the charge to overturn the Dean's resolution. Then we have the director of the Electronic Information Services at Beowulf U, Aaron Barnes, who is here to speak his mind as to what impact this will have on information services at Beowulf U. And then, last but not least, we have the director of the food services, who's supposed to carry out whatever policy is adopted, this being Rick Teagle. And he's waiting to see what the president does and going to advise the president. And we just want to hear what advice. I think we'll start with Rick. What advice would you give the president as to what he should do about these resolutions and why?
Well, first, I think we ought to provide good food, and we do that, and that's important to me. Now, on the issue of folks leaving to eat and internet and commune, I think if we are to be a university who provides the students with a community, we ought to focus on making our dining hall a place that encourages community, and I have many suggestions for that, but that ought to be our focus, and let the students decide where they find community the most. And if we really want this to be an importance for this university, we ought to really go at this community issue and make our dining hall a place where community can happen over our meals. So that's very simple.
Well, thank you. Can we cut to the chase and see what you're going to tell the president? Can I gather from what you said that in a way, you're not necessarily for the stick approach, the Dean's Council view, forbidding carryout, but you're more for the, to use a food metaphor, if you will, carrot approach, which is basically to encourage in the dining hall a sense of community so that students will prefer to eat there.
That's correct.
So we have one advice to the president against the resolution. Carryouts will still be available if students want them, but we should make the dining hall the place to be. Well, let's hear now then from the instigator of this resolution, the Dean of Students, and see why what she'll advise the president to do and come back.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Teague on the question.
And she put the proposal forward.
Yes, I agree that good food is an issue, and I believe that one possible solution to this problem, because it is a problem, is to have, if we discontinue the takeout meals, think of the money we can save on packaging, all different kinds of things. We can save money on these things and enhance the quality of the food this way. Another issue I want to raise here, which hasn't been raised yet, is an environmental issue. It's very important to me. It's very disturbing to me that all these styrofoam containers are going out. Where do those go? Can we recycle those? If we do indeed decide, because of the pressure of the student body, to continue takeout services, we need to be more responsible about it and not use styrofoam. I think that's a very important issue to raise, along with the community issue. Back to the community issue, one thing that the students brought up was, well, sometimes they're cramming for exams. And there have been many studies done on the efficiency of cramming for exams. And students' studies are more efficient when they give themselves a break and actually are with people. It clears their brain in a way, and then they can more clearly study, and it reduces their stress, actually. I think there's a lot of different angles we can look at this. And I don't want to use a negative angle. I have been accused of carrying a big stick on this issue, and instead, I want to look at it from a more positive angle. What are the good things about gathering together? That's what I would like my focus to be. I don't want to be seen as a big naysayer and anti-student rights, because I'm certainly not going for that. However, I do think I am right on this issue.
Well, thank you. I think that pretty well clarifies two sides. But let's hear now from the student body president. Jake Jacobs, and see what you're going to advise the president to do.
Well, I think it's clear here that the dean is dodging the issue. He's talking around all these things, styrofoam packaging, and this whole issue has become dodging what's clearly a concern here, which is community at our university. I feel like the administration doesn't really care about this. They're using this issue to try to divide the student body, perhaps environmentalists against non-environmentalists, perhaps those who feel stressed out versus those who take a carefree attitude. This is all a big smokescreen, really. What's really going on here is that students don't feel community at this university, and they're seeking it other places. And this scares the administration. They don't know what to do about it, and so they're trying to corral us all together in hopes that just getting people all in one place will create community, as though, you know, if we just maybe we should make the dining hall smaller, get people closer together, and then community will be fostered. I think this is completely the wrong approach, and this is why I'm totally against this resolution, because it doesn't address key concerns, and it really just rearranges things, makes extra work, and puts pressure on the food services coordinator. And in a sense, perhaps it would work, perhaps it wouldn't, but it wouldn't really address what's at stake here.
President Jacobs, let me just see if I understand you correctly. You don't regard, then, the internet and email and all the rest as a sinister force drawing people away from a community that's already there and causing community to unravel. Instead, you think the cause works the other way. Because there hasn't been a very vigorous community, people seek other venues. And so the cause of people turning to the internet is the lack of community, not internet causing the collapse of community.
Exactly. I think technology is neutral, and pre-existing conditions create a situation where technology is used in different ways.
So internet, television, other allegedly insidious technologies are themselves really popular because communities collapse for other reasons.
Exactly.
They're not the cause of the collapse of community. Very interesting. Very interesting. Let's turn now to somebody who is a spokesperson for electronic information technology and hear what you have to say about this. How are you going to advise the president?
Well, I've been sort of brought in on this issue for sort of the technical side of it, which strikes me as very odd because there really isn't much of a technical side to this. What President Jacobs over here was just talking about, what you've alluded to, it's true. I mean, technology is neutral. I mean, to paraphrase Shakespeare, technology is neither good nor bad, but thinking makes it so. It doesn't do anything. Technology is there. It doesn't cause things to happen, unless they were already going to happen that way anyway. In other words, whether or not people are not participating in community because they're watching TV or because they're on the internet or whatever, they're not finding community somewhere. And so they're trying to do the best they can, and they're trying to find community any way they can. True communities grow themselves. If there were a strong student community here at the university, which I agree with President Jacobs here, there really isn't one. If there were, people would be drawn towards having meals with other people as opposed to trying to find something else. What I think people are trying to find is a community to belong to. Speaking of the internet, community is vague and somewhat misleading. That's sort of like saying the business community. I mean, what does that really mean? We're talking about two different sorts of communities here. We're talking about a community as in a group of people who have some common goal, and there's an active search towards an end. In other words, students are at a university to try to find their goal in life, to get an education, to whatever. When you say the business community, that just means people who are in business. I mean, there's not really anything the same there. In the same way, when you're talking about community at a university versus the internet community isn't one. There are communities that happen to exist on the internet, people who exchange information, ideas, etc. But in and of itself, it isn't a community. So I guess what I'm going to advise the president of the university to do is to go ahead and scrap this resolution, not because I think it's necessarily a bad one, but for the wrong reasons. There isn't any reason to say, the internet is evil and it's causing students not to eat at the dining hall. I think there's a bigger problem here, I don't think it's technology related. I think technology simply happens to be sort of the end result, and so it's being pointed at as sort of the culprit here.
Well, thank you very much. This brings us, I think, to a very sharply pointed question to put to Professor Sharon on community. We've heard now a couple of speakers who want to say that technology is neutral and doesn't really form people. Instead, people turn to technology for one purpose or another, depending on other things. And I know you've been teaching some classes up at a place, Holden Village, I think it's called, in which just the other day you were arguing about how spaces form people and how certain environmental things out there shape the kind of people we are. And I'm wondering, since you're an expert on community, if you could, since you've taught up at Holden, I mean, imagine, I've heard that community, for example, doesn't have cellular phones or phones of any kind. According to some of the speakers we've just heard, introducing those to the village, if it were possible, really wouldn't matter. They're neutral. People might never use the telephones, and so it wouldn't affect community one way or another. Instead, the community, depending on its health or not, would use phones, to take an example. So I'm interested in whether you agree with the two previous speakers and some of the others that technology is really neutral, especially internet, regarding shaping community, and that people's use of it comes about from other causes.
Technology is not neutral. I'd like to give an example that's very different than computers and the internet, just to create a little perspective from the heated debates that have been going on at Beowulf University, preventing us from seeing the larger picture. Imagine yourself sitting before a fireplace with friends or with a special friend, feeling the warmth coming from the fire, watching the flames flicker. And while snow is falling outside, nonetheless, in front of this fire, you're warm. Not only because heat's coming from the fire, but because of the company of your fellows, or fellow. Now, imagine yourself sitting next to a gas heater. Have you ever sat next to a gas heater? Either by yourself or with your fellows. It creates a completely different sort of image, I would propose. And not at all the same sort of warm or unusually warm feelings you might have been imagining as I described the fireside scene. This could be an analogy for the problems we're having at Beowulf University. The internet, or computers in general, are a form of technology, typically which don't require more than one person to operate. And while using the internet, one might imagine oneself being in conversation with others. If I were to walk into a room and observe a person using a computer, it would be a person and a machine. Now, if a person were to fix a meal, say, with other people, it would entail a whole process of chopping vegetables and turning on the oven, talking about what ingredients should be added to the recipe in order to make the flavor acceptable to the group. All sorts of activities would be engaged in. Questions might even be raised about where the food came from, who grew it, how the crop was this year and why. Those sorts of things are a part of the process of preparing a meal together. And when one gets takeout and sits in front of the computer, all of that activity is truncated and one interacts with the machine. Now, I would propose that's one way to look at the problem, that the activity, the social activity with other people that happens in preparing a meal is fundamentally different than what happens with a computer. And that a computer embodies a worldview of technology that allows an efficiency. One person can manage tasks that many people would have had to have done before. So it's not neutral, but it's also not wholly negative. I have an off-campus house where a number of students from the campus ministry live together and engage in the building of community, and it is oftentimes after effect of a class I teach on community. Now this is a very delightful house, and these people cook together and sit in front of the fire together and build community together. But they also have computers and use the internet. Now it's very interesting that as this community is built over time and gets involved in social justice activities, they can use the internet and network with other people involved in the same issue around the world and learn all sorts of helpful things to them, which encourage them in their own work in our community. And so I'd like to propose that, well, the internet isn't neutral. As other people have said, it can be a useful tool. And so I'd just like to suggest that internet community, if it's built, is a derivative of the community that's built with human beings through one another. And so my work at Beowulf University and I think our work together at Beowulf University should be to work on building person-to-person community. And as a start towards that, I think we ought to build a big fireplace in the cafeteria.
Barbecue hot dogs.
Okay, thank you, Professor. I think you've given us a lot to think about, and it's time now for others to jump in. And by all means, question any one of the folks from Beowulf or talk back and forth. How would some of you advise the president? Here's one back here.
Yes. I have a question. Is it not the question, to paraphrase Shakespeare, to choose or not to choose? That's the question, not whether or not they're going to have computers or whether or not they're going to have community, but whether or not the people have the right to choose the direction in which they're going to take their lives.
I think that's an important issue. I think, as I said before, that the issue is not whether or not people are taking their meals away to be on the internet. I think the issue here is community happening or not? The administration has seen, oh, well, we have a problem, i.e. there's not enough community, so let's try to fix that by banning something, by making a law about something that you can or can't do. I'm not sure I agree exactly with the professor here. I mean, tying in with that, I think technology is neutral, primarily because, yes, there will be people who will decide, I'm going to sit in front of my computer all day long and just do that. There are always people who take things to extremes, but in a healthy community, you will have people interacting with each other and then saying, ah, yes, and by the way, here's a helpful information resource I can use to contact people about, as you said, social justice issues. Those folks who are not participating in community and doing that all the time, those are folks you have to try to get to and bring into a community. But I don't think if you have a healthy community, you're going to end up with lots of people like that. I think you're going to have people using it as a tool, like people use the phone.
I do agree with you. I think, however, if we encourage things to take out, it only enables the problem. And I don't think that this resolution that I began will completely solve the problem. I do agree with all of you that we need to work a lot more on building community. I hope we can meet in the future about this and hear other ideas for building community. But I think it is important that mealtimes be set aside for each other. I'm not even saying breakfast. I mean, a lot of people don't even eat breakfast, but at least lunch and dinner, I think, is very important to be together. And that can at least be a start, and there can be other solutions from there. I don't disagree with the internet. I think I use the internet all the time in my work. However, I do think those times should be set aside.
Yes?
I have a question. So when these people are not eating together and on the internet, what exactly are they doing? Because there are many things one can do on the internet. Are they actually engaging in community, or are they not? And that'd be the first question you should ask.
Really. Are they net surfing? Or are they...
Because there are, I mean, to my view, there are many legitimate and wonderful communities that exist only on the internet. So it would be important for me to know whether they were actually engaging in those or not.
I think they mainly play Minesweeper. Avoiding writing papers.
Because the fact that someone's sitting at a computer does not mean they're not engaging in community, to me.
Very true. However, can they engage in that community at a different time in the day?
I think that's pivotal, personally.
Yeah. I think
both can happen.
I do too, yes.
You want to say a little more about that?
Well, I guess I have some concerns also about the environmental impact, et cetera, and I feel like, you know, having a free-for-all policy that anyone can have takeout at any time just breeds, you know, a little bit of chaos that may not really be necessary for the food service. I don't know if this is how you experienced it in your kitchen or not, but my own experience in college is it was a very big deal. If you ever were going to have takeout, you had to, you know, reserve it 2 days in advance, etc. And you really got the impression that it was a huge inconvenience for the food service coordinators. And so I don't know. Maybe you could respond to that issue.
Well, yes, we've tried to respond in the kitchen and tried to accommodate the needs of the children. So. I think for us, we employ the way here, but I think it's important that we give a single message, and if that is to be community over food, then let us build community over food. So let us be strong, because I must enforce whatever rules are here, despite my opinion. So it's important, I think, that we decide what is our focus over food.
Nice. Yes.
It sounded like that really all the different parties were are interested in the concept of building community, but I'm curious to know if they have the same idea of what that means.
Right.
I'm not convinced for one. I guess I'm a little hazy on it myself. Maybe that would be a place to start. Is what does one mean? What do the different ones mean?
Well, let me ask you a question. Someone just said that they thought you could be, in front of the internet, engaged in community. I take it in sort of one of the email conversation groups or something that go back and forth. And that, he was arguing, would be really another form of community on a par with the kind of community you would get face-to-face sharing a meal with someone else available. And do you see those yourself as sort of on a par, those two different kinds of conversation?
Well, it's a good question. They're certainly different, and I don't know that they're, one would be less or one would be more. So the experience of a pen pal, whom one never sees, so that's just been made very fast. So now it's possible to correspond several times a day with someone, whereas before it took longer. So I see that this has just speeded up that. And the notion of a pen pal is a valuable thing. So I wouldn't say they're the same, but I wouldn't go so far as to say, you know, one's
better.
A lot better
than okay.
better. Or one shouldn't have.
Okay. So in other words, there may be different kinds of community. There's not one thing that has the essence of community against which all others are measured, but there are different sorts.
There might be different sorts.
You need people for community, don't you?
Can you speak a little up? Can you all hear that? She said...
They need people for community. How can you have a community sitting looking at a machine, even if you're, you know, you're really typing and all this and that? And to me, that's not community. I don't understand how you could have community with it.
Well, I guess to sort of take up the idea of having a pen pal, I mean, if you have a pen pal, you're exchanging letters with someone you don't know any other way than through a written form. And that's what you're doing, that's what you can do on the internet,
sure.
exchange stuff that
way. But I'm just kind of confused here, you know. This is a university, and you're going there to learn. Do they go to classes every day, and do they listen to lectures, and so forth? I'm hearing that all they do is sit in front of a TV or a computer. And, you know, I think that it was a good, like she had said, that you sign out if you want your meal out 2 days in advance. You had to sign up for it because it is really an inconvenience to the cook. I mean, you know, that must be a horrendous job to dish up all that stuff for them. And then kids are kids. Are they going to put all this away? I mean, are the rooms going to be just those styrofoam boxes in the corner stacked up? I mean, I just
Excellent.
Don't, I'm just real confused here.
The Dean of Students is solidly behind you here. I think you've got some responsive nerves back here.
As someone who's just finished college, I am hearing a few inconsistencies here. One is that I didn't hear anyone saying that all they do is sit in front of the internet. I hear that during meals, they are in front of the computer, perhaps using email. And that's all I heard was that this is about during meal time. Another thing that I'm hearing is, or from experience, is that mealtimes don't come at convenient times for a student. Noon is right in the middle of classes. It's a perfect time for studying, preparing for the next class. So grabbing a bag lunch to take to the library, to take to sit outside, whatever it is, to prepare for the next class, is a very is a good resource of, I think, of the college, as well as dinner. It's a time when people, I think, are most athletics occur between 4, 3, 4, 5 o'clock. Dinner is around 5 to 7. It's a time when people are energized to study, and with a meal and sitting in front of the computer, people are ready to study. Come 9 o'clock, I think that's when the community happens. People are ready to engage with other people in their dormitories, in their houses, and that's when the community can happen, after the studying is done, before they're ready to turn in for the night. It's not necessarily at the meals. I think they come at an inconvenient time.
Okay, so we shouldn't be too make too much of a fetish in your judgment of meal time as a time for forming community.
Right.
Yes?
I tend to think that people are so different that one idea of community is clearly and sort of obviously to me not going to fit everyone. I mean, it's sort of, in my opinion, a little bit like religion and faith, that different people need different perceptions of God or a sort of overall figure to fulfill their personal needs. Community, in my opinion, is much the same way, and to strive for one single ideal of community completely leaves out a section of people who perhaps find a lot of inner satisfaction and inner fulfillment from, for example, working on the internet and conversing and communicating with other people in that way.
Sounds like you're in a way reinforcing what was behind, I think, your question earlier about whether the real question, as you said, was whether people should be able to choose where they want to spend their time or whether this ought to be regulated. And I think you're suggesting that given the differences in people's habits of association and preferences for community formation, they ought to be able to be left to choose what they prefer at mealtime. So you agree with the student body president here?
In effect. I certainly do.
You want to say something more about mealtime? I think your view was there ought to be different kinds of communities, but why not at least prohibit certain things during the meal hour?
Well, I have a very strong bias from my own college experience, which included usually at least an hour, if not an hour and a half, maybe even longer, spent in the cafeteria. Usually, especially a couple of friends of mine and I would come in and have our meal and sit and talk, and in the meantime see like a whole group of people come and go, and other people, you know, in that same space come and go. But that, to me, those are some of my fondest memories of college, is that time and those reflections together. And I mean, that was my experience, that's only one person. But something about the way that the cafeteria worked, etc., some of the issues you were talking about, creating, you know, the environment where the type of thing is likely to happen and can be alluring and can be, you know, self-perpetuating. I think that is pivotal. I think, you know, I would ask, you know, the other thing is, you know, often I would be sitting around with people I had just come from choir with, you know, and so I had a community from choir that carried over into the mealtime, and you know, it might be some people I also saw at chapel that morning. And for me, it was a larger community thing that also was part of the college's shaping that had to do with issues of faith, you know, somewhat, as well as this common goal of, you know, education, edification, etc., and just, you know, all of us coming together and improving ourselves and the world, etc. And I don't think that's necessarily at odds with technology, but I think it's very important.
Dwayne?
Well, I would think that the administration and the students should ask themselves why students have you come to Backwater University?
Beowulf.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I got confused. Why are you at the university? It would seem that if the students, those students that are so interested in the computer and the net, that they have to do this during lunchtime, are probably also spending a good deal of time on the computer and the net during their entire college life, not just at lunchtime. Now, it's well known that you can get a college degree sitting at home in hometown USA instead of Backwater on the net. So if they're so taken by the net, send those students home, let them go. You may have to apply for additional federal grants for a few years until you get another body of students that are coming for the purpose of college life and coming for the purpose of community.
But yes?
I think there has been present, at least in my experience, an underlying fear of technology kind of taking over the role of teaching and student life in a university. I'm thinking particularly of San Francisco State University, where I have a friend teaching, where the faculty is gradually being edged out and more or less replaced by internet classrooms, which are much cheaper to run, much more efficient in sending and receiving information and processing grades, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in many ways, the professors at the university are becoming obsolete, and their argument is that the face-to-face interaction is necessary, is crucial to student life, to learning in the classroom, to formation of the self on the campus. I don't know exactly where I would put myself in relation to that, but I think that's a very present fear among certainly some campuses, and I imagine that's something underlying this discussion as well.
Good. In other words, that there's something important and vital about face-to-face community that's distinct from other forms, though other forms have their merits. But I think some may agree with you on that point, but still wonder about mealtime, as she did, as being the time to form that face-to-face community. Mm-hmm. So that's another question. She suggests that that kind of community is important, but may better go on after 9 o'clock or something. So we've got a lot of different variables here in the air, and a number of people lining up to speak. I think we'll go with Aaron first and then come over to the dean again.
Two comments. One, a real brief one, just about what you're talking about in terms of technology. When closed-circuit television first came around about 20 or 25 years ago, there was a huge outcry about, oh no, we're going to stop having any entry-level classes and eventually any classes at all. They'll be taught by one person standing in front of a camera, and there'll be 900 students all watching TVs all across campus. There was an initial rush for people to, or for universities to invest in this sort of technology, and it went almost nowhere. Yes, there are closed-circuit TV classes. Most large universities have them, but they fulfill a sort of very basic role, and that's as far as they've gotten. And I think that's because face-to-face contact is very important. I think what you're seeing here is that same sort of initial bubble of, oh, wow, let's replace all the teachers with computers. It's not going to happen. You'll see this, it'll be around for a few years, and then I think it'll sort of fade back just like closed circuit did. I don't think it's gonna start replacing professors left and right. The second part is we've heard from several people now talking about what communities are, when they want to have communities, mealtimes, whatever. One key component of any community, whether it's an electronic community or a community of your peers or whatever, is that you have to want to be part of that community. Every member of a community has to want to be part of that. If you're forcing students to only have community at set times, I mean, there are certainly days I don't want to be part of any community. There are days that I want to be part of a community most of the day. If you try to start forcing that on people and saying you must be in community from 5 to 7 o'clock if you want to eat, I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of success there. I think what you're going to see is a lot of people saying, well, this isn't going to work, or these days I'm in the dorm room and have macaroni and cheese. Or I think forcing students to do it at a particular time is dangerous. Students will form their communities as they can and as they want.
Okay, good. Dean?
The resolution is not forcing this. I think students, if they do not choose to come to the dining hall and eat, have plenty of other options. We provide kitchens in all the dormitories. If they want to cook meals, they can do that. If they would rather study. If they want to go out and get food. If they want to go out in the town and get food somewhere, that's we're not stopping them from doing that. I want to address several different things that different people have brought up. Along with this resolution would be some other changes in the structure of the university. One person commented that there are classes happening at any time. How can you come have lunch at this time? We want to have the lunch time be really from 12 to 1 be a time where there are no classes happening. And that's one thing we're talking about that's going to have to go through a lot of hoops. The dinner time, we want to, if you can't come to dinner, we're not forcing people to come to dinner every single day. Of course, obviously, like you said, we're not into a totalitarian regime here. We just want to enable the community and make it a nice place to be. Another thing we want to do, if you really just feel you need to study, we want to make some spaces available in the cafeteria where you can actually sit quietly and study with your nice meal that you have from that place. So we are willing to talk about other solutions to this problem. Another thing I heard that I think is an interesting, it's perhaps a very American concept, is the idea that community is should only fulfill your own personal needs. And I think whenever we think about community, we have to not only think about our own personal needs, but those of all the rest of the people in the community. And that's just one point I wanted to bring up there.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want to suggest maybe that there's potentially like a false opposition being set up here. the internet. No, I'm not referring to this. Anyway, the internet and all its sub-communities can actually, in my view, serve to build local face-to-face communities in the following way. The communities we're all in every day have failings and shortcomings and injustices inherent in them. And as individuals, we feel those injustices in various ways. And I think the internet has proven itself to be a place where people go to interact with others who feel the same way about certain issues. I won't give examples, but it builds happier people as part of the communities they're present in. And I don't think that's something that should be discouraged, but almost encouraged.
Thank you. We're coming toward the end of the forum. We would normally go right to 9:30, but since this is the first forum, I just have a couple of requests I'd like to make of all of you. Want to make a few summary remarks and then thank our panel. My request is this. This was a kind of experiment tonight, because this format, this idea of having folks here who get things rolling by addressing a very specific narrative from a variety of vantage points. And I think as the population of the village grows larger, there may be less role-playing where we ask people to adopt a role and more people who actually are deans or professors or directors of electronic information services. I mean, we have some of that tonight, but not everybody is exactly as they've been described. We have someone from the kitchen representing food services, and of course we had somebody on teaching staff speaking from the professorial point of view, et cetera, et cetera. But I think as the summer goes on, we'll actually have people who are directly invested in these issues coming in, doctors talking about the medical issues, et cetera, and then opening it up for the rest of us to talk about. And I'm just interested, not so much right now to hear you publicly give feedback, but I'm going to be around and about, so please do come up and let me know how you think tonight worked.
how you think this kind of format could be improved to engage more of the villagers, what kind of topics, I mean, you heard me reel off a set of them. Forums actually are often floated up topics out of what's going on in the village. We always want to have some space, not for a pre-assigned forum topic, but for something that surfaces in the village that everybody's keen to talk about, given somebody on teaching staff, and then we come up with a forum topic on the spot that kind of addresses that issue. So I'm more interested in, I think, format than I am in supplying particular topics, but I'd welcome either one of those over the course of the next several days, because we want to try to fine-tune this so that everybody feels a part of it and enjoys it. So I appreciate that, because you can still help to shape the format forum now, since we're still early in the summer. Second thing I just want to call to your attention, not so much by way of trying to bring this to closure, because I don't think we are anywhere near a clear resolution, but to sort of review some of the nuanced points of view we heard on some of the facets of this huge subject. First of all, someone brought up early the whole question of technology and is it neutral or does it shape us? And I think that whole issue generally is one which is very perplexing. I mean, after all, if we did introduce television and phones to Holden Village, would it take very long before we became a different kind of community? Are we wise, if we can, in holding out against the introduction of those technologies for fear of what it might do to this community, et cetera? I mean, just that kind of question, never mind the answer, gives you a sense of the importance in thinking through whether technology is neutral or not. However you might think it operates, it's just interesting. The other issue came up right away about, someone said the question is really, are we going to let people make up their own minds or are we going to dictate choice? We often pose issues in those kind of stark terms, but if you listened closely, you heard a number of proposals along a spectrum that didn't pose things that sharply. I mean, someone suggested, I think it was you, well, why not have carry out available but make it difficult? Make people give 2 days notice or 3 days notice. They're still free to have carry out, but there are certain deterrents to that built into the system. Or other people saying, look, we're not prohibiting use of the internet, we're just prohibiting it during certain times. Okay? So there's always a whole range of possibilities instead of the stark, either we let people do whatever they want or we forbid them from doing anything. There's always intermediate positions you can take practically, okay? Then there's the whole issue of the meal. And is the meal at this point in our history the time where people form communities best, at universities or elsewhere? I mean, there's a body of literature that suggests that one of the main things that leads to the difficulties with young people today is the disappearance of the common family meal, that people don't eat supper anymore, that dad eats at one time, mom at another, and the kids fend for themselves, and this kind of unraveling of the family table as a time when people can converse and learn certain arts of compromise and intimacy around a meal is at least one of the things that has led to some of our broader social problems. Now that's disputable, and even if it's true, it may not bear on college meals, but it's one straw in the wind that shows some of the larger implications of this conversation we just had. Another straw in the wind, which is more than that, is a whole body of literature that gets to this issue that people brought up about different kinds of community. A man named Robert Putnam wrote an article 3 years ago called Bowling Alone, which was an article about the fact that a lot of our associations and communities in this country that are built around particular issues like the PTA, et cetera, that involve face-to-face conversation around a particular project are unraveling. And that the form of, quote, community is either the kind of community Betsy alluded to, which is very much, I'm in here for a particular good I want to get. That is, I'm in a group for people who are clinically ill. And as soon as that group, which is a support group, which are good things, but as soon as that group serves that function, I'm out of it. But it's not as though I'm in here for some larger purpose beyond what I particularly need. That's one kind of group. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And the other kind of group is the group that you affiliate with only by writing a check. I mean, you're either a member of the National Rifle Association, in which you sign checks to support it, or you're a member of a group that's against guns and you write your check to that. And the worry is that these non-face-to-face communities, or these communities that just have one function, are kind of eroding the habits of compromise that we form in face-to-face communities that debate issues but are somehow accountable to each other because you live together. Imagine, for example, the difference between our kitchen crew as they're chopping up vegetables discussing a controversial issue, never mind what it is, and people on a talk show where someone answers the phone, makes a statement, hangs up, someone 10,000 miles away picks up the phone, makes her statement, hangs up. But these people don't have to live together the next day. They don't have to get along the next day. They know nothing about each other's personal history. They're not responsible to and for each other. So just think of the differences in the feelings of those two conversations. The one is in a nest of personal relationships which go on the next day, face to face, where you know somebody's history when they make a statement. And you have to, after all, depend on them the next day to get the vegetables cut up, you know? So the whole conversation has a different feeling than it does when you're on a talk show. And unfortunately, the talk show, where strangers get to make statements, is becoming more the mode of conversation and the face-to-face less. And the question is, where does internet fall on that spectrum? Does it promote a kind of talk show model, or does it promote a kind of face-to-face model, or is it yet another alternative? So that whole question is very vital, according to Putnam, because he found out, and here I'll close, when he studied democracy in Italy and wondered why in the North it flourished and in the South it fell apart. And after years of work, he discovered that you could predict the health of a democracy in Italy based on how many people were either in choirs or soccer leagues. Because if you could tell him how many people were in choirs or soccer leagues, he could tell you how healthy the democracy was. There was a direct correlation between people who sang in choirs and did things together or played soccer together, okay, and how much they read the paper, how much they participated in voting, how much they engaged in all kinds of civic activities. Those little choirs and soccer leagues were nurseries of democracy, what Tocqueville called voluntary associations. When there weren't choirs and soccer leagues, and when people didn't participate in things like that, they couldn't sustain a democracy. They didn't read, they didn't vote, they didn't have any kind of civic consciousness, et cetera, et cetera. So these different shapes of communities and people's belonging to them or not really turns out to affect the whole tenor of public life. Because the argument is these face-to-face communities are the nurseries of democracy. It's where you learn how to compromise, how to listen, how to speak, how to get along, et cetera, et cetera. So what's at stake here is not just Beowulf U and what it should do about this, but really the health of the Republic. And many people are baffled by this. And a lot of the issues you brought up in this little context really are on the front burner of the major public agenda of our country. So I appreciate your bringing them all to bear for our common thoughtfulness now. So thanks for participating. I want us to thank our panel for their contribution. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you.